Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a parenting comedy podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys. Not that we make it hard. We are delightful.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
Researching for this show, I found a link. The title is 11 toddler backpacks that will get them excited about being in school.
Toddler backpacks?
Yeah, I'm going to say that again. 11 toddler backpacks that will get them excited about being in school. I have an idea.
What?
How about if we just let the toddlers continue focusing on being babies?
I know, right? I'm three, goddammit.
Yeah, you just learned to walk. Let me put a counterbalance on your back.
Welcome to the 37th episode of I Shouldn't Have Had Kids,
a comedy parenting podcast
where we talk about parenting from the confines of the Bombcast studio.
And you laugh at us.
I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Ellen.
We are married.
And we work from home.
Together, we have three boys who have given us their permission to use stories of their upbringing to illustrate just how damn hard parenting is.
We're podcasting for parental sanity.
Mm-hmm.
Ours. And yours.
Hey, but one thing, we're not experts, so please don't take notes or start a book club over what we have to say.
Nope. We barely know how to run the equipment in the studio, let alone successfully parent without a playbook.
Speaking of no playbook, we are fast approaching that special time of year when we gear up to send our kids back to school and enjoy the freedom that affords us. Whether it's peace and quiet at home, a clear head while we're at work, and many scenarios in between.
But wait, said 2020. Not so fast.
Oh, fuck you, 2020.
Oh, my God. I don't recommend this year. One star.
One star. No stars.
One star.
Can you give it no stars?
Well, I mean, we're alive and healthy, and we haven't contracted COVID as far as we know. So
yeah,
one
right.
star.
Okay. We'll give it one star.
One star. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are we still in the middle of a pandemic?
We sure are.
Oh,
hi, honey.
Christ.
I know.
Hi.
Don't you know that every day when we wake up and ramble down the hall and walk into our little home office that we share and sit down across from each other
mm-hmm.
and try to coordinate our schedule so that we're not holding court at the same time, so to speak.
And at least right now, we don't have two students in school draining the Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Because when we're all four on a Zoom call,
yeah.
it's frozen video city.
You know, I turned off my hotspot because we did have an episode in the spring when the boys were both online from home. And unbeknownst to us, they were like, oh, we don't get good internet reception downstairs. So what did Lola and Shy Guy do but like log on to my hotspot and drain my account halfway through? Thank you, boys.
Well, even if they were using their own, it was draining.
Yeah, because
yours,
it's our. Because
you're all on the same.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just tick
then you get
off.
That little pop up that says, hey, you're out of data, so we're going to bring it to a crawl.
And I'm like, well, what?
Yeah.
I did not get that at all.
Ugh. It's unlimited, yet very limited.
It's
thanks,
true.
AT&T.
Yeah, we love you
asshole.
So much. What happened to the free marketplace? Isn't there some competition out there that can take care of this problem? You would think.
Well, there's money to be made for sure.
I know.
Like, anyway.
I would pay somebody else. So today on the old episode, God, 37, really?
Yeah,
we've been doing
37
this?
Weeks.
37 weeks. I love it. I love it. I love
well
it.
Well past halfway for using a year as a marker of any sort.
Hey, can I just say good on you for making it this far in the pandemic. And thanks for sticking with us during this because we started this darn podcast thinking, you know, the sky's the limit. It's blue and beautiful. The wind is slightly blowing. And all of a sudden there was a fucking tornado called the pandemic.
I know. Like January and February, I was so ready for spring and I was so excited about good weather. And vacations and baseball season and everything that comes along with the green and the blue sky.
I'm just going to sit here and say nope, like 2020 did.
Yeah, hard pass.
I tell you what, I wake up in the morning now and there's dew on the grass, even though it's August, and the sun is slightly slanted in the sky, so I can tell that the earth is starting that damn rotation. And I keep saying to myself, oh my God. Winter is coming.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so scared.
The night walkers are like down the street.
They're breathing down my neck.
Ugh.
How do you kill a Nightwalker again?
You stab it with like dragon glass or some bullshit.
Oh, right. We need some dragon glass for this stupid COVID-19.
Yeah.
Give me the dragon glass,
That's
man.
What Fauci's working on. Dragon glass to inject in our veins.
I hope so.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of ugly. You know, if schools are closed for too long, the parents are going to find a vaccine before the damn scientists
no
do.
Joke. There's no good answer.
No.
There's no good answer to the school's opening in the fall.
Speaking of which, that's what we'll be talking about tonight.
The first day
today,
of school.
This morning, whenever you're listening.
Yeah.
First day of school. Oh, yeah, baby. But before we get to that, it's the shit list.
It's the shit list.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Thank you very much.
I got it right this time.
You did.
I'm so doo-doos.
I am so proud of you. I'm proud
Thanks.
For everything you're doing.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. We were out in the middle of the bay absolutely bombing at crabbing this weekend because we had a very short amount of time.
That was silly.
And all of a sudden, the boat just stopped. Now, we've had some experiences with the boat stopping. And one of the stories we haven't shared with you, which we probably should.
Oh, I don't know. Is there time?
I think there's plenty of time. So the thing about the boat, okay, you know, we've talked about our mid-century modern house and our mid-century modern boat. And the reason why we have mid-century everything is because that's what we can afford. Right? But this boat I saved up for I don't know, 2.5 years,
this
something
was my,
dumb like that.
My surprise 40th birthday present.
Right. It's a little 13-foot whaler, and
it's the cutest thing. I love it like I love my kids.
When she's not hating it.
Well, it's a boat.
It is a boat.
I love the boat. The thing that gives me heartache is the 30-year-old outboard motor that's attached to it.
Right,
so that thing
is a bear.
Is moody as fuck.
Oh, you know, some people look like they're dogs. Other people look like they're engines,
yeah,
Ellen.
That Suzuki DT40 is like... a pre-menopausal me. Sometimes it starts and runs just fine, and other times it just doesn't work and you don't know why.
It's flipping you the bird.
And it overheats.
Yes.
And it starts to beep.
Yes, and then we are the laughing stock of the dock. We come in, tootling in. Doot, doot.
Yeah, with an alarm going, and it's just puttering. And there's like smoke, and there's kayakers and stand-up paddle boarders that are like, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Mother Earth too, ya bitch.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so the first time that we took the boat out.
Oh, we're going to go here.
Yes, we are. I don't know why. I just, it's come over me, and I'm
so
going to just roll
with it. So
much
for us doing a nice, succinct episode tonight.
Okay, we are going out for the first time. I've been out on the boat. I've been on boats in Alaska. I've been on boats here, and I gift this boat to my wife because I love her and she's always wanted a whaler and here it is.
I've always wanted a boat, anything.
Anything. Anything that was like, yeah.
Any kind of motorboat.
Yeah, that was more than a stand-up paddleboard,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we go out the first time in the boat and I'm like, well, what did the weather forecast say? Did you, you know, what did the wind forecast say? And she looks at me with this blank look in her eyes and I'm like, oh, holy mother of God, have we gone out into the ocean?
I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
That we're going to run out of wine tonight.
Oh, it's that bad of a story. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we go out, and you're going to have to help me remember some of the details, but we go out and the engine stops. But where are we?
Well, we're heading out, like, far. Like, I don't even think we have a clue what we're doing.
We don't know where we are. We don't have maps. We have an iPhone,
but
and that's
it's
it.
It's not choppy at this point.
It's not?
It's Easter Sunday. It's a beautiful day, late spring, or whenever the hell Easter is, and... it's smooth and we're going along and all of a sudden the gas tank sucks in, remember? Because I didn't know that it needed air. So that's the first thing that happened is this like clank of this old metal, probably the original gas tank sucks in and you're like, open it up. So I open up the valve and it's like, but it's, yeah.
At this point, it's too late. So now we are floating around and we're like freaking out. And we are close enough to other people who live along the shore, right? We're up.
We're far.
We're down south, actually.
Yeah, we're south. We're near the beach of a friend. And we get into their little cove.
Oh, yes. But where are the oars?
Mm-hmm.
And you say?
What oars? We don't have oars. There's no oars.
And I'm like, hang on just a second. The engine doesn't work.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of the bay.
Yeah.
And we don't have oars.
That's correct.
Okay.
I think you're kind of lucky that I put the plugs in the boat that day.
And so now we are literally stuck.
We're not going anywhere.
No, we're freaking out. And then along comes this
A couple kayakers.
Is it the kayakers
first? A couple kayakers come by, and the one says, well, I'll tow you to the beach. And
no,
we're like, that's
we
great.
We say, excuse me.
Yeah.
Will you tow us to
the
beach?
Well, I think he offered.
He did?
Yeah. So we threw him our bow line.
Yeah.
And he starts paddling, and it was a little too much for him, and he got
irritated
really quick.
In the meantime, I'm calling our friends who live just above this beach.
Yes.
And saying, hey, we're down in front of your beach and we are stranded and a kayaker is towing us in and we need help.
We need help.
Yes. So Peter Fraser, shout out to the man of the hour, all of a sudden appears on the beach.
Yeah.
And he's got long pants on.
And shoes.
And shoes.
And he just starts walking towards us.
Just like Jesus.
Yeah.
Swear to God. He just starts walking towards our boat as this angry kayaker is pulling us in towards Peter.
And as soon as he sees that we have a friend there, he lets go of the rope and later days out of the cove.
Giving us a nasty look on the way out.
Yeah, just frustrated.
So we're just so thankful to have Peter, you know, there. So he... How does he get us over to the other dock? Do you recall?
Well, we kind of float over to the other dock a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I think. Or he pushes us over there because it's like low tide. And
yeah, so he's got a neighbor that's got a dock.
Yeah, so we get over to the other dock and then he makes a couple phone calls and two other people show up at that dock.
Yeah, John of John and Nancy. John shows up
and then the owner of that dock who's like a local lawyer in town. Yeah. They're all incredibly friendly because it turns out that boaters, this is what you do when you boat. It's like all politics aside, boaters are
boaters
and they help each other.
Yes, that's
100%.
Right. 100%. And every boater helps every other boater because they've all been through
this.
When you learn how to boat, you have screwed up many times and been rescued by several very kind people.
Right.
Little did we know that we would be rescued by all of those people in the same day. But go ahead. I'm jumping ahead.
Well, so John jumps on board and he's able to get the boat started.
Right.
And so we get out and he opens it up full throttle and drives out a ways and comes back. And he's like, seems to be okay now. And we're like, all right, well, this is the end of our jaunt. We're going to head back because it's a long trek back.
Right.
It's a long trek back. So we're like, okay, thank you, everybody. And we turn around and we head out and we get around the point to the other side of the beach.
The wind has now kicked
up. Yeah, we're out of the protected cove and the wind has kicked up a little bit. And we're heading out. And it stops again, like in a blaze of glory, like,
and so
like it's done.
We're now nowhere near anybody else.
We're nowhere near anybody else. But then the phone rings and it's John's wife, Nancy. And she's like, I can see you from our deck.
You don't appear to be
the binoculars. You're not going anywhere. We'll come down and get in our sailboat and we'll come get you and tow you to another dock.
Right.
So they come down, they're heading down to their boat, and then this giant boat pulls up.
This beautiful whaler.
Like 24 feet. I don't know what the lengths are that are standard, but a very large, beautiful whaler pulls up and is like, do you need some help? And
we're like, yes.
So we get on their boat.
And I have this picture. I'm going to find this picture. We will post this picture. I have a picture of this big, beautiful, brand spanking new whaler towing our little ancient 13-foot whaler behind it that is dead in the water back to
So we go
dock?
To another dock.
Yeah, not somebody else's
dock. We go
dock.
To another dock. And then Nancy and John come down to that dock and meet us there. And it's like the dock of a couple that has a house there, but they're like maybe not snowbirds, but they're on an extended vacation.
They're Canadian. They're down for the weekend.
No, they're gone.
Oh, they are?
They're gone.
Okay.
So Nancy calls them and they're like, keep the boat there.
No problem.
As long as you need.
Just put the buoys out so the boat doesn't.
Yeah, just.
And I say, where are the buoys?
Oh, our buoy? Our, like, bumpers? Yeah, we don't have bumpers.
Not buoy. Bumpers. Yeah. So we also don't have bumpers. We've got no bumpers.
We have jack shit. We don't have flares.
No oars. Nothing.
A fire extinguisher.
Nothing.
GPS. Nothing.
You can make a list of everything that somebody should have on the boat, and we have none of that.
We have none of it.
Okay.
Except we're wearing life vests.
That's right.
So we dock the boat, and we end up needing to get a ride back to town.
Oh, my gosh. That's right.
Yes.
So who takes us home?
So Nancy takes us home.
She does?
Yep.
Oh, Nancy, I love you.
Takes us back to the place we put in, and then we take our boat and our empty trailer home. And this is like Easter Sunday. So I go to work on Monday and I'm looking at the weather forecast and it's supposed to rain.
It's soupy and ugly.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain. And I'm like, okay, so the boat's going to fill with water
and sink.
Little does she know that whalers don't sink.
Yeah.
And if you have to know about that, go to last week's episode to the show notes. And there is a very funny video that I've posted there where somebody literally saws a whaler in half and then drives it around a marina. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
But the sawed in half whaler is not full of water.
That's true.
So I mentioned this to my boss at the time. Well, he's still the boss. I mentioned it to Eric.
But he's also a friend,
and he
as
is,
you will see.
He is, doesn't matter what this, he's like Midas. Whatever this guy touches is gold. He knows everything.
Yes.
Like, I haven't found a topic that he can't, like,
figure out.
Advise me on.
Yes.
So I say, hey, had some boat trouble. It's at this dock. It's going to rain. I don't know what the hell to do. And he's like, here's a list of things to go buy at the marine store. I'll meet you at the dock where it is. What's the address?
Now, I might add, I have elected not to go back out to rescue the boat because I have vowed never to go in the boat again because my wife has taken me out and put my life at danger, in danger. At one point, we were trying to, I think that Peter gave us some oars.
He gave us some oars for that for the rest of that day that
yes,
we put in the oar rocks. So we were like, when Nancy called and she's like, I can see you guys aren't moving. I think actually she's like, you're rowing. But the swells were big.
They were so big.
And so like
big.
You're rowing in the front properly and you're like 10 feet above me
and
then
I am
slammed down. And
literally
then...
glare. If looks could kill,
oh
my
God.
Wife would be dead. I'm rowing and looking at her like, how could you take me out here in this?
Yeah. So I go to the marine store and buy everything that Eric says to buy, and he meets me down there, and it's none of it. It's not the battery. It's not fresh gas. I bring a new gas tank. We hook up a new gas tank. He's, like, hitting something with a hammer because he's like, well, sometimes there's these little filaments that, like, bend, and so you have to, like, hit it while you're trying to start it. And he's going through all of this
all the troubleshooting.
All the troubleshooting.
Yeah.
And he gets it started. But it's barely going. It's like... putt, 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 putt. And the closest boat launch is a ways away, but it's closer than the one where we put in. So we head out to try to get there, and it's rough. Like, a storm is coming in. Not like a storm, like a hurricane or anything like that.
No.
The Pacific Northwest. But it's starting to rain. It's not good. And so we're going along, and he actually says to me, all right, if we capsize, don't swim towards the rocks. Just tread water out here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I'm not sure you told me that.
I'm like, okay, that's great.
Which is your biggest nightmare, right?
Oh, I hate the water. I hate the water. Hate it. So we make it back to this place, but it's low tide, like low tide. Like, the boat ramp has ended.
You're talking about the little park there
mud.
That has the, okay.
Yeah. It's just mud.
Yes. With the mud skippers.
Yes. So we get the boat there and decide that my truck would not be able to get out of the mud, but his would.
Oh my gosh.
So he hooks his, we pull the boat up, we go get his truck, put it on the trailer, back it up, but we can't get the trailer in submerged enough
to get the boat
to
on
get
there.
The boat on there. So we hook it up with the winch and start cranking, but then we both, it's just a matter of, like, we're pushing down the back to try to, like, just like almost flip it on to the rails on the trailer. It is an absolute nightmare. I am using every bit of strength, for one thing, because I have to, but the other because I don't want to appear to be
weak. You already do.
So,
because of the circumstances.
We finally get it on and he's able to pull it up, but he only pulls up enough just to clear it out of the water. And then we both get out and just collapse. We just collapse. And I'm wearing, like, boots, and he's wearing flip-flops, and he's like, never wear shoes that can fill with water. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I could be dead.
This is a nightmare. And I look down. My boots are full of water. So then we have the hassle of going, we have to go back and get my truck and rehitch and do all this. But he absolutely saved the day. Then he gave me the name of a guy to take the boat to, and I took the boat to this guy, Jesse. Well, it turns out there was a complete malfunction with the motor. There was a part that had absolutely gone bad and died. So a new one was like $10 gajillion because this is a 30-year-old motor.
Yeah.
I mean, this shit's not readily available. But Jesse is a sweetheart, and he finds one on Etsy. On eBay.
And
he found one made of wood that someone handcrafted with jute and... like Salau. I don't know. He finds one on eBay and he's like, buy this and have it shipped to me and I'll put it in. So they did. And then, you know, with the new gas can and the fresh battery and everything, it was, the boat was good to go. And that was what was wrong with it. It was some part, and it was melted just beyond belief. So there was a legitimate reason, but that does not negate the fact that I wasn't ready. So then I didn't take the boat out again because I was just
so freaked out.
Yeah. But for Christmas that year, you and the boys got me flares,
yes,
an emergency horn, a knife, all brand new bow line and stern lines, whatever the fuck it's called.
Oh, and don't forget the bumpers.
Well, I bought those.
Oh, okay. I thought
bumpers,
we did.
Bumpers. You guys got me a legit life jacket, one of those ones you pull in it like
the Mustang. Inflates. Isn't it called a Mustang?
Yeah.
I love those.
It's awesome. Fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I spent that summer redoing all the wood.
Yeah.
And like,
she was so afraid of that boat.
Yeah. I got the manual to the motor and like studied it and figured out. So then the next year, and that's 2016.
Mm-hmm.
The next year we started taking it out more and then we started running into the beeping problem.
And that's a whole nother.
Well, that turned out to be the thermostat.
Yes, which you jimmy-rigged.
Which I fixed the thermostat, but upon trying to fix it, I broke a whole bunch of bolts, which I gorilla glued back into place, just hoping.
Once again, on the phone with Eric saying, what should I do?
Well, it's pandemic time. Well, there was also a time when I blew a fuse and drove it. I towed the boat to work, pulled it up behind the building and got him, and I'm like, now what? He's like, well, I think you blew a fuse.
So I think we all need to send out accolades to Eric.
Yeah, well, Eric got a really nice bottle of scotch for all the help with
Where
that.
Where was my scotch? That's
what
I want to know.
He really saved the day by getting that thing out of the water.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was...
Oh, God,
oh, man,
what a scary time.
So stressful.
It was really scary, actually.
Yeah, that was bad.
We will not do that again, but God, that's a story that's been begging to be told for such a long time. We just had to tell it to you.
Well, I would say that since then I've learned quite a bit.
Yeah, I think
and
you have.
My confidence level's a little higher. I'm still scared to death of big water, and when it's bad weather, I'm like, mm-mm. Like, it's... People are out,
as you should be.
Well, people are out kayaking. They're like, la, la, la. And it's like big waves. But it feels like in that boat, we're going to die. I don't know why. Oh, I installed a bilge pump.
Yes, which is awesome.
Which is great.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's solid now, but.
Well, that's right. The other thing when I was rowing with Peter's wooden oars. Mm-hmm. And
which were awesome.
Which were terrific. Terrible. That's a Freudian slip right there. You were bilge pumping with the hand bill.
Yeah,
the
I was
hand
getting
pump.
The water out. I was so free. I literally was like, okay, well, we're going to be in the water. I've had the boat for 5 months.
It's been lovely.
It was a good run.
That's right.
This happens.
And about every, maybe 2 months, she says, I think we should sell the boat.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are not going to sell that boat at this point. No way.
I love that boat, but it is the most intimidating. Like on a morning and you're like, let's go crabbing. I'm like, okay.
I think that we started last week's episode with a boat story as well. So,
well, we've posted plenty of crabbing stuff. I mean, like, we're making it happen.
Yeah.
Like, we've got it down now, but we just did have another engine issue.
I know, but you fixed it. Okay. So, since we're talking about schools, mm-hmm. right, and going back to school, I thought it would be really great to tell you that one of the highlights of my week this week was watching Dr. Lee from Childersburg High School in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Do a spoof of Can't Touch This.
Nice.
Did you see this?
Well, I didn't watch the video, but I know it exists.
He's very funny. He
okay,
is very
I'll watch
funny.
It.
Yeah, you got to watch it. We'll post a link to it, but it's all about, you know, what his school or how he's trying to keep his school safe. But it's a tongue in cheek look at, you know, Can't Touch This
mm-hmm.
and all of the challenges that these administrators are facing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. What's on your shit list?
Well, it's Doug.
Well, it's Doug.
It's Doug, of course.
Why?
Okay. So Doug, friend of the podcast, superhero Doug. Okay. So little quick backstory. So, yes, this is a mid-century modern home.
Oh, drinking game
yep,
has
I know.
Commenced.
And the yard is as well. The mm-hmm. landscape is very mid-century. And in the backyard, mm-hmm. there is a series of like a dozen in-ground lights that shine up on the landscape.
That used to be small little plants and are now like...
Yeah, giant trees.
Massive things.
But over the years... So when we first moved in, I think they were all functional. Maybe just a dead light bulb here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had work done in the backyard, like trees trimmed and whatever. And one season, the people who came out to trim the trees broke three of those lights.
So special. Hashtag
yeah.
special.
And then over the, you know, the lights are old. They were put in at the same time the house was built. So
right.
they're from the 60s as well. And so they've also just, the hinge where the light can swivel to point at the trees mm-hmm. has given and they've broken. And mm-hmm. it's actually caused, the way the circuit works, it's caused outlets in the house to stop working because
it's so dumb.
Wires would zap and yes. they would like flash out. And I'm like, great, we're going to burn down the backyard. Well, I don't have any idea exactly how that works, but I knew I could probably figure it out or find help or hire an electrician. But what I needed to do was source all those lights. So
yeah.
for the past 4 years, I've been trying to find them because they're not on the market anymore.
Yeah.
They're, you know,
they're old.
They're old, but they're not obsolete. Like mm-hmm. they're really good landscape mm-hmm. lights. Mm-hmm. So I've slowly collected the five that I needed that to fix the broken lights. And they've been in the garage for about 18 months in a box. And I said to Doug once when he was over and we were having a lunchtime front yard visit with him, I said, I've, you know, got these lights. It's on like, it's on my to-do list, but it's almost like on my fucking bucket list at this point because it's been so long. And I said, do you know, because Doug is a jack of all trades. I
right.
said, do you work with a good electrician? And he's telling me, you know, yeah, I might, you know, I'm trying to work with a new one. I'll let you know how it goes. He's like, why? What do you have going on? I said, well, I want to replace all these backyard lights. And he's like, oh, well, I can teach you how to do that.
Dung!
So, like, the next week, he comes over. And this actually happened two nights ago,
mm-hmm.
Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He comes over and proceeds to, we mask up, of course, and he teaches me how to replace the lights. So, no electrician needed. He even gifted me the tools needed for future electric work. Taught me about the circuitry and like how it works and why it works and what, you know, what the instructions don't say, like do this and do that. And we fixed all the lights, replaced all the light bulbs. And that night, the backyard lit up like a fucking Christmas tree.
It looks so good.
It was like Disneyland.
Yes.
It looks so beautiful. And it's
so
just
nice.
Such a small little touch. And it's so gorgeous. And I mean, he was out there with me for a couple hours just like teaching me so
yeah.
that next time, like, I'll know. And just what a sweetheart to
yeah,
come
no
do
kidding.
That. And I was like, thank you, thank you. And he's like, are you kidding? Thank you. He's like, do you know how fun this is for me? I'm like, no, I don't know.
And I can't understand it even if I do know.
Yeah, well, it turns out his father was an electrical engineer or some sort of like engineer.
Oh.
So,
huh.
like,
cool.
Like the way I know certain carpentry things just because I grew up
daughter
literally,
of a carpenter.
Like, you know.
Yep.
In the middle of a house being framed, that was his experience. And so he just knew all sorts of stuff. It was fantastic. And then, let me just make this podcast even longer. You can edit out what you don't want. Then before he leaves, he hands me a paper bag from the hardware store. And he's brought me tools I need to fix the boat.
Oh.
Yeah, the electrical on the boat.
Because he also does not want us to die.
He knew that there had been some. And he's like, here's this shrink wrap stuff for marine grade, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God.
So we're gonna live.
Nicest
guy.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sweet.
So thanks.
Thanks, Doug.
You've made the shit list again.
Yeah.
God, you know, you are just a shit list whore. Doug, that's you. He needs a t-shirt that says shit list whore.
Well, I just think it's the sweetest thing when you like it's such a gift to share that knowledge.
Yeah.
And, you know, to teach someone something is so powerful.
Yep.
And I love that kind of stuff. And so now to have a little bit of that knowledge, to me, that's the best gift.
I actually think that is an invitation to our listeners. If you have any questions about carpentry,
yeah.
please send them to Ellen at I shouldn't have had kids
@gmail.com. Questions about carpentry. If you have any questions about carpentry, I will relay them to my dad. If you have any questions about electrical, I will relay them to Doug.
Right.
If you have any questions about plumbing, I'm sorry.
And if you have any questions about boating, go to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to this. First day of school. I think we need to divide this up like then and now.
Okay.
Because it's so different. But it used to be. Do you remember?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember first day of school?
Do you remember it for yourself as a student? Because it's like there's then and now, okay, timeline of life. But then there's also as a student ourselves.
Way
and
back.
And then as parents.
No. I have very few memories of first day. I don't have any memories of first day of school, actually. Isn't that terrible?
No.
All gone.
Well, you're mid-century. You're my mid-century modern wife.
That's right.
You fit right in. It's the trifecta, boathouse wife. Well, for me, the first day of school, and I don't even know if it was the first day specifically.
No, but this is about your propensity for school supplies, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
Am I right or am I right?
Did you just Windex your crystal ball?
I did.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely the lead up to it and the preparation
yeah.
and all that that still can conjure up. Like the smell of a pack of pencils,
mm-hmm.
it seriously makes me feel like the leaves are about to change.
Oh.
Because that's another thing, too, is seasonally.
Yes.
Right? When
yeah.
I was growing up in the Pacific Northwest, school started in September. Like,
yeah, that's
September.
When it should
that's
start,
when school
actually.
Starts. September. Everything
yes.
was about the leaves and like
yep, yep.
you pretty much could hit the ground running wearing your new warmer school clothes.
Yep.
But now, and I think it's a mix of things. School starts in August, at least around here, and climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are in shorts until like October 1st.
Well,
but
and
I digress.
Some kids are in shorts all through the year, and I don't
yeah,
even
yeah, yeah.
know how they deal with that. And it's mostly boys in athletic shorts. And I'm like, seriously, dude?
Well,
are you not freezing?
That's how they roll.
Yeah,
but yeah,
is.
And I think that I definitely had an unhealthy obsession with school supplies, which translated as an adult to an unhealthy relationship and obsession with office supplies.
Yes.
Because I do love them.
No, but can I just for a quick second
sure.
describe what it's like when I'm sitting in the office and Ellen gets a package and in that package are some sort of office supplies. She opens the package very carefully. She takes it out. She unwraps it, takes the bubble wrap, carefully places it aside, picks up whatever the supply is, and then holds it to her nose and goes, oh, it's like drugs to you. It's so
yeah.
bizarre. It's her drug of choice.
Yeah. So when I was in college, I was an art major, and my specific focus was on design production.
Mm-hmm.
And about 80% of that was learning how to, there was a lot of business involved, learning business, but also actually running the press.
Right.
And so the smell of ink and paper
mm-hmm.
was just something that like everyone in the department really appreciated, the smell of ink and paper. And to this day, when printed materials that I've ordered show up at work, I smell them.
Yes.
It's just something I do. And one of my coworkers, Brian, he like silently noticed this. And one day he came over and next to me, and he like opened up the box of brochures and he pulled one out and he smelled it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I see. Like, right?
You and your best friend, Jessica, are just oh. the same. You guys in letterpress and just ink.
Just all
and
of that
yes.
stuff. It's intoxicating.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
but that has nothing to do with the first day of school.
No.
But
it does have something to do with your obsession.
Yeah.
And many people's obsession with new school supplies. So that is a big part.
Well, so that's part of the tradition, right? You get
going
the
back
list,
to school.
The teacher
that's right.
sends out the list to the parents and you're like, okay. And so like late August, you trek to Target or Fred Meyer. My preference is Target. And you walk around, you give the kid their list and a pen and you start filling the cart and crossing it off. And it gives them a little autonomy, you
yeah.
know, like
yeah.
do you want that glue stick or that glue stick, or like do you want the yellow pencils or you know do you want the whatever pencils? And
is Elmer's
it's so fun.
Is Elmer's glue still made out of horses?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's so weird. And
that's
two
horrifying.
Yeah, it is. The other thing that's really interesting is that when you're doing that, you're at Fred Meyer, you're at Target, and it's like little clones everywhere. You've
yeah,
got a
oh,
parent,
yep.
a list, and a small child. A parent, a list, and two small children, and a crying mother. You've got a parent and a list and three small children and someone who's ripping their hair out. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it all kind of looks the same. And you're all looking at each other over the top of the list
mm-hmm.
with a knowing look like,
mm-hmm.
how long until we can uncork the wine? Which is the question of the hour.
Yeah, for reals. But you can't wait too long. Because
no.
if you wait too long, then the supplies are gone.
And
they're
when
all picked over. And when the kid can't get the folder they want with the today's pop culture like icon on it that they were wanting. You
they
know,
are just dying.
From a rock star to a Pokemon, they are so bummed out.
Now, what I do remember from first
days of school is getting a new peachy.
Peachies were the bomb.
Were the bomb. And Ellen found the most amazing thing. We'll put a link in the show notes to this. It is a sweatshirt in the peachy color with the peachy graphics on the front.
And the back.
And on the back.
Like,
it's
you
incredible.
Are a folder. Except what I did notice, of course, because now I'm on high alert.
Yes.
It's only white people.
All white athletes?
It's all white athletes.
Well,
all the time. And I actually found an artist who has depicted police brutality in the peachy art genre.
Wow.
And it's phenomenal.
Wow.
And I'm also going to post a link to that because I thought, oh, I'm going to buy. You can still buy them. I'm like, I'm going to buy a peachy. How fun would that be? And then I looked at it. I'm like, I am not going to buy a peachy. Like, fuck that.
And then I'm like, why did they call it a peachy? And so we looked that up, and it turns out that it was called a peachy because the color of the original peachy was
peach.
Hello.
What?
I know it. It's so
then
bizarre.
It quickly became yellow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so you probably didn't do this, but what I did. So when I was in high school, peaches came in that like yellow color mm-hmm. of like a envelope,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they also came in blue and red. Like you could buy different colors. All the art was the same. It was still like a duotone white and brown, but it was on different colors. So mm-hmm. we'd buy a whole bunch, like five of them, and stack them and then duct tape the spines together. To almost make like
a folder,
a whole bunch of them.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that was, and it had like weight to it. And it
okay,
was
go ahead and do that for your kids, whether they're going
stuff.
To school in person or online. Do that because that will like blow their mind.
Yeah,
that is
was
awesome.
That was in high school. But if my edges got frayed or like it just had to be just right, or I would like literally be upset about.
Shocking.
I know.
Okay, so I did tape around the peachy because when it did start to fray.
Well, you had to reinforce it.
Yeah, you had to reinforce it, which kind of detracted from the way it looked, so it kind of bothered
me
visually.
Well, if you did it well.
I never did.
Did you, you know what my other obsession was, like fifth grade?
No, but there are lots of things I could say there that would be wholly inappropriate. Go ahead.
Yeah, because none of it was an obsession in the fifth grade. Okay. I didn't know what end was up in the fifth grade, you nut. Trapper Keepers.
What is that?
You don't know what a Trapper Keeper is?
No. Sounds like a movie.
It's a full, okay.
Trapper Keeper?
It's like a, it's a full, it's a binder.
Okay.
Full of women. No. It's a binder that when you close it, then it's got a flap that Velcros it shut, and the three ring component in the middle opens and closes with a little tab that you pull and it slides.
Yeah.
And that was a Trapper Keeper.
Huh.
And
I had no idea. I know what you're talking about. I didn't know that was the name.
So bad.
But
I don't know what the butt was. I just wanted one. And one day I came home from school and my mom had bought one for me and it was sitting on the buffet in the dining room and I nearly cried.
Nancy, you made your daughter happy.
Matched my backpack.
What?
Yeah, I'm actually.
But wait, did it match your socks? Because that's
no,
always. Oh,
no,
too
I had
bad.
A really cool backpack.
Okay.
It matched my backpack. It was all just so dialed. Fifth grade, I remember it. The folders inside were like proprietary. You had to get Trapper Keeper folders to fit inside the goddamn thing. And I am going to go. As soon as we're done recording, I'm going to go upstairs and see if I can buy a Trapper Keeper.
Oh, my God. What are you going to do with it?
Well, when it arrives, I'm going to open the package carefully, and I'm going to set aside the bubble wrap, and I'm going to smell it.
Very good. All right. So when you send kids to school or when you went to school as a kid, you know, for parents, two perspectives. For parents, it's the countdown until the first bell rang because at the end of summer, most parents are pulling their hair out.
Yeah.
And never more so than right now during this pandemic. And so, of course, there's a real pull right now. And we'll get to that when we're talking about current going back to school. But before COVID-19, let's remember when life was innocent and everything was wonderful.
Yeah. Do you know that Christmas song where mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again? And that's after like a 2-week Christmas break.
Yeah.
That was written by a man. Seriously. No
was
offense,
it?
Dads, but like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
You're home for the holidays for a couple of weeks. Traditionally, when the song was written. So just keep your jock strap on. After 2 weeks, you were like fucking done. You wanted to go back to like... You know, your madmen ways. Imagine how the rest of the parents feel. The moms. Okay, I went there.
Mm-hmm.
After the end of a 2.5-month summer. We cannot wait for school to start again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I think that they are.
I'm even willing to make lunches again.
A taste of that medicine.
Get out of the house.
You know what blows my mind is that as the kids got older, and I think this is a relatively new phenomenon, the kids got older and their backpacks got unbelievably heavy.
Yeah.
The amount of material that kids had.
Remember, Tigger had like a back problem, so we had to get him a special backpack.
Yes.
But the other thing that is that lockers aren't used in the same way, I don't think.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know, because when I was in high school, you showed up, you dumped all your shit in your locker, took the book you needed.
For the first class.
Yep, and or two, depending on the schedule. Then you came back, you had a locker partner. You used that as your home base. The kids, and I don't know if it's like a tied to mass shootings. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah.
And maybe it's different now. I'll have to ask
Maybe
Shy
it's
Guy.
Just our kids.
But
they don't use their lockers.
Tigger and Lola didn't use their lockers. They carried everything on their backs. And I could hardly lift
seriously
Lola's backpack. He would drop it, there's like a dent in the floor.
So you imagine a little kindergartner, a little five-year-old with this, you know, even in kindergarten, their backpacks are pretty heavy that first day because they're carrying all the supplies you just bought at Target.
Mm-hmm.
And they put one foot up to get on the bus and they're like, whoa,
fall backwards.
And all the kids go down like dominoes.
When I was researching for this show, I found a link that the title is, or an article, the title is 11 Toddler Backpacks That Will Get Them Excited About Being in School.
Toddler backpacks.
Yeah, I'm going to say that again. 11 toddler backpacks that will get them excited about being in school. I have an idea.
What?
How about if we just let the toddlers continue focusing on being babies?
I know, right? I'm three, goddammit.
Yeah, you just learned to walk. Let me put a counterbalance on your back.
Or if you're Lola and you're 6'8" and you're carrying a giant backpack and you have no idea how big your body is and somebody says, hey, Lola, and you whip around to see who's calling your name. And by doing so, you take out two or three kids. Yeah. Shorter girls that, you know, they're just clocked right in the face. Bam. And they go down.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. Right upside the head.
You know, one year I totally dropped the ball on buying supplies for Shy Guy because the public schools here had switched to, like, they bought the supplies.
Oh, yeah. So we have a promise from our school district here, which is you don't have to spend all this money and all this time before school starts. We got you.
So yeah. It wasn't on my radar at all that he needed supplies because Montessori didn't do that. You still had to bring supplies.
That's
okay,
right.
Totally legit. No problem. So he comes up and he's like, so I need the supplies in like 2 days. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay. So grab my laptop. We sat down. We got his list. We went to Amazon. We picked out Prime supplies, ordered them, and they showed up like the next day. Awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't very careful.
About which lined paper you chose?
No, I got the right one. College ruled. I did not look at how much I was buying. So he needed 12 number two pencils.
Mm-hmm.
We got 12 packs
of number two pencils.
12 number two pencils.
And she was sniffing all night long.
Yeah. What else? I also got an entire case of pink pearl erasers, eight 12-inch rulers, 6 reams of college ruled paper.
Are you kidding me?
4 boxes of blue Bic ballpoint pens.
Oh my God.
4 protractors. Yeah. But the pricing was so low, I didn't notice. So there's actually, to this day, a giant, like, tote.
Yes. With all the materials.
Down in one of our storage areas.
When we have grandkids, they are going to think they've died and gone to heaven.
Well, and even so, I sent him with extras and said, just donate, like,
just
put
share.
This in the coffers for later in the year or whatever. And I got a note from the teacher. Thank you so much. What a generous donation. I'm like, yeah, you bet.
And what's in this closet, Ellen?
The art tower.
The art tower, we called it. And it's full of dead markers. I'm quite sure. We have crayons and markers coming out of our ears. So if anybody needs a donation, let us know.
Okay. Well, here's a list I made of all the things that should take you back.
Okay.
Okay. So Crayola.
Oh, God.
Right?
Which one did you get when you were young? Did you ever have the eraser?
Oh,
I mean, the sharpener?
The box of, like, 64 with the sharpener.
We could never afford that. I was so jealous of that sharpener.
Well, I didn't have that very often, and it wasn't like necessarily an afford thing. It's like the teachers didn't want you to have that much.
Because it made a mess all over the room.
It just slowed people down.
Yes.
Like, just pick your primary colors and fucking draw whatever it is. Don't like get hung up on which shade of green, you know? Okay, so I said pink pearl, those erasers.
Yes.
Elmer's glue.
Yes.
So good. Dixon Ticonderoga.
Oh, my God. That's
right
the
here.
Pencil.
Here's one.
Oh, my God. She's got one with her.
Dixon Ticonderoga. That... Soft. Number two.
Is that from the original pack of eight whatever? Oh, she's sniffing the pencil.
Still
stop that right
good.
Now.
All
it's
right.
nasty.
Pentel.
Pentel. What's that?
Well, it was pens and markers.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Right?
Markers. I remember Pentel markers.
I already mentioned Bic.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the ballpoint pens.
That's right.
Yeah. So good. Paper Mate.
Yes.
Also pens. Yeah. Those are my brands. Those are the brands that take me back,
yes.
too. Because those were the choices. Now there's all sorts of like off brands and whatever. I mean, you should, the stuff I bought on it, like the rulers like broke immediately. But he had what he needed for the first day. Oh, Sharpies. He also needed a ton of Sharpies for some reason.
I love Sharpies
so
with all
many
my heart.
Black Sharpies.
You cannot have enough.
In this house.
Yes, for
still.
Sure.
And that was, I mean, he's going to be a junior. This was years ago. We are still working through. This is one of those pencils.
If you want to see a very funny video about classroom supplies, you know, the Holderness family? I think that's what their name is. It's a guy. Yeah, you do. He's the guy who sings all the songs and his wife is really funny. She dances with him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did one. They did a video called Baby Got Class. And I think it's a couple years old now, but we'll post a link to it. It's very funny. And their kids are in it. So it's just a hoot and a half.
So that's what it, you know, you get your new lunchbox, you're like pumped for a minute to make your kid lunches because you're like, this year I'm going to make them all on a Sunday.
And oh, wait, yes.
I'm not going to do the salty school
yes.
food. Like,
no.
I am so dedicated and you're up early and like first
that
day
lasts
of school
for one day.
Outfits.
Yes.
And everything is shiny and fresh and there's haircuts and the shoes are clean and it's just like your life is dialed and the air is crisp. And like the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, it's all blue sky. You walk outside, you take that quintessential
first day photos.
Oh my God, the first day photos. What has happened to the first day photos? Y'all have lost your fucking mind because
with the chalkboards that say like
my
first
God.
Grade, third grade, pre-K.
Okay, guys, I love you, but come on.
But that's how you know. Like when you look back at ours, do you have any fucking idea what year it is?
Yeah, because I have photos in folders that say what year it is. Okay, I don't have folders.
So this is not an honesty podcast.
but Apple has done the work for me. I know what year it is, right?
You don't have folders, so just stop. It would be convenient if we had some sort of visual in the photos so we knew.
It's true.
But to your point,
some of them go absolutely crazy.
If I could
crazy.
Circle back to your point
and ladder up and then
synthesize
we're gonna,
the whole
yes,
fucking
okay.
thing, mm-hmm. I would just say
yes.
that there is an element of over-the-topness that has occurred that you see on mm-hmm. the Instagram and the Facebook
mm-hmm.
on the first day of school and the last day of school.
Yes.
That is
and every day
remarkable.
In the child's life.
But
the
I love
parties,
seeing
yeah.
those, especially when parents post first day and last day,
yeah.
like, you know, come June or in some areas, May, God forbid, when school gets out. And you can see the growth of those kiddos. Is there some grades especially where
third grade?
Oh, my God. Like,
Lord,
you send them in as a baby and they come out and they need to shave. It's like unbelievable growth can happen over 9 months in some of those years.
Can we just talk about the expenses? Because here's the deal. You go out and you do the back to school shopping for clothes and that just kills your budget. You're like, you know, culture shock, right? And then you go and you buy the school supplies and you're like, whew. Okay, we made it. I think we budgeted right. I think we're going to be okay. Christmas might even be, you might even get a gift under the tree. And then they go to school and they come home with all that paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it says? It says you have to pay your ASB fee. You
yeah.
have to pay your
to pay
annual fee. You have to pay
the lab fee.
The lab fee and the
walk in the door fee.
And the take a
fresh
poop
air.
Fee. I'm sorry, but your son took a poop today and you will be charged
$5. Yeah. And then there's the band tour fee and the choir tour fee and the drama trip fee.
Oh, my God. It just is a killer. And when it comes to back to school shopping, we had some real challenges with that with these three boys. We had one, Tigger, jeans.
are $60? No way. No way. I'll just wear last year's, which he said for like 3 years in a row. And we're like, okay,
yeah, but you
dude,
busted the butt out. You know, like.
And then we have one who's 6'8" and they just don't make jeans for him.
Nothing
at 36
off the rack for that guy.
Inch inseam. And then we have shy guy. Jeans don't come in tiny enough waist for that boy. He is tall and lanky and so pencil thin. And what kind of pencil thin is he?
Dixon Ticonderoga, number
Thank
two.
Thank you very much. So that was always a challenge for us. But yeah, back to school, that's the way it was.
Well, I think, to be honest, we kind of gave up there towards the end.
With back to school clothes?
Well, a little bit. Yeah. Because they didn't.
Like, once they stop growing, you don't have to worry about it as much.
And some kids are like, yeah, I want that outfit. Like, they're really into it. And ours just kind of weren't. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, all right, I'll honor that. I'm not going to drag you out and buy a whole bunch of stuff if you're not into it. So we would wait and then do the sales when back to school shopping was like over.
That is
and
the
they were about
right
to
there.
Switch to another season.
Yes.
Then we would scoop up stuff because it is true. You don't need a sweater around here on the first day of school. You don't need it till November at this point.
So, you know, now that we've been waxing philosophical and reminiscing about days gone by and how it used to be, COVID. I don't even know where to start with this. I tell you what, I did see a very funny, you know, those the memes, some e-cards.
Yeah.
I love those, that said, for teachers, the month of August is just one long Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Word. Especially this year, right?
Yeah. So this year, school supplies, here's the suggestion. A laptop and screaming fast Wi-Fi,
yep.
Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, mm-hmm. stand-up desk, mm-hmm. headphones.
A mask, hand sanitizer.
No, this is for home.
Oh, for home.
Like, assuming that maybe your kiddo is not going to be able to go to school.
Yeah, they're not in Seattle.
Well, if you send them to school, I don't even know how that's going to look. So I saw an ad the other day for all these plastic partitions, and it was for an office setting. And it's mm-hmm. it's all these plastic partitions that you can put up on your existing furniture, but to create these pods. But they were marketing them as like privacy and, you know, be able to have a phone call, you know, and not disturb your coworkers. And they said everything except
school.
No. Dude. They said everything except the fact that these are to fucking like not get infected.
Well, yeah, yeah.
They didn't mention anything about COVID or like stay safe.
They don't want to have to redo their marketing.
Yeah,
it's
so stupid because how is a clear plastic piece of plexiglass silicone to the top of your desk a privacy shield?
You can see right through it.
You can see right through it. It's so stupid. They should have, like, if they had said, hey, like, you know, this shit's real and you're going to be at work and maybe you can't be on a phone call in a mask so you can put up something to, like, help.
Yeah.
I would have been like, that's cool. But they're like, privacy shield. It's clear. You can't get naked in your cubicle still.
You could hang a little curtain on it.
Oh, my God. All right. So let's say that you're in a district or a state or an
where
area
you're going back
that
to
you're
school.
Going back to school.
So the things you need to add to your back to school supplies include masks, hand sanitizer, a stick measuring 6 feet long, a personal fan to keep the cooties away, an ejector seat to activate if someone sneezes, mm-hmm. you know, ka-ching, you're out of there. I mean, I don't even know what's going to happen. I've read so many different policies. Some are back to school. One dumbass school district is like back to school, no masks required.
Ooh,
that's just north of Atlanta.
Oh, God.
Thanks,
people.
Georgia. Yeah, you fool. Anyway, so there's that. Then there's the go to school for 1 week and come home for 2 weeks. Then there's you go to school Tuesday and Thursday. And this set of kids go to school Wednesday and or Monday and Wednesday. And then nobody goes to school on Friday. I mean, it's just all over the place. And our school district has yet to make a decision.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame them. I mean, it is such a conundrum because
they have to make a decision.
They
parents
have to make
need
a decision
to know.
So parents can plan. I
yes.
understand that. But it's basically like this. If you only have shitty choices, you're going to make a shitty choice.
Yeah.
So one way or the other, it's going to be a decision that half of the population is okay with and half isn't, or a mixture of people who, like, because I get it, right? The emotional,
right.
There's so much to unpack here. First of all, some kids, as I have said, this is the only, like, meal they get, or the only affection they get, or the only safe
break
place
that
they
get
or
from,
break
yeah,
from
violence.
A horrible
yeah.
home situation. So getting those kids back to school is absolutely it's critical. And even kids who have a totally stable home environment need to leave it mm-hmm. and go be with their peers. Mm-hmm. Like, ideally, there's a safe way to get everyone back. Obviously, the number one problem is we can control the schools 100%. We cannot control what people do after school and at home and what families are doing and gatherings and stuff. But even beyond all of that, it's like we... as a society, you almost have to put a value on human life.
Yes.
Like, okay, well, so grandma might die, but the kids
need to be socialized.
Need to be socialized.
That's a bullshit choice.
Well, it's a horrible choice.
There is no choice there. Grandma should not die.
Well.
Period. I like to think it's a finite period of time. Is it horrible and unfortunate that kids don't get to have the social life that we really want them to have, that we know is important to their development? Yes. Are there other ways that we can provide that? It won't be the same, but probably yes.
But are we looking at that through a super privileged lens?
Well, no. Here's the deal. I think that there are some kids who absolutely have to go to school. End of story. And I think that I think that those families, especially like children of low income, essential worker families, people who are working, you know, God, low paying jobs, and they have to go to work in order to make ends meet. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Stay home so that they can homeschool their kids? They can't. It is an impossible choice. Those kids have to go to school, and or if they don't have access to high speed internet or any internet at all, or the technology needed to do the sort of online learning, kids should be prioritized. The people whose children are not at risk for that stuff, if there are other issues in the home, if they are worried about somebody in the house getting sick, if they are worried about their children getting sick. We don't know very much about kids. And the reason we don't know very much about kids is that they were kept protected. There have not been a lot of studies. Yeah. What they do know is that if you are in K through, well, up to middle school, you are probably pretty safe going to school based on the current science. But then that risk increases about 50% in terms of those kids not only becoming sick from COVID or being asymptomatic and having and testing positive for COVID, but being spreaders of COVID. Mm-hmm. And that's what they don't know. And so that's the real dicey piece right there. And it's going to be a while before we actually know that. But regardless of what your school district decides, if you end up sending your kids to school, you know, in person, some of the policies that they are going to be operating under, it's not going to be school as you know it. So don't even think that for a second. You know, parents are going to be required to take the temperature of their children every day. And I just don't think that's going to happen. People cannot even sign their goddamn field trip permission slips. And I'm one of them.
Well, are they going to hand out thermometers?
What are they going to do?
I mean, that's expensive.
And then no one comes to school with the temperature, or if anyone else in the family is sick. That never happened before. So
yeah,
why would it happen now?
Yeah, people send their kids to school sick all the time.
They are not going to have lunch in the cafeteria. They are going to sit at their desk literally all day long, not move and eat their lunch at their desk. You tell me about the second grader you've met who can operate under those policies. Teachers.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
There's no...
no switching rooms, masks all day long.
Well, I think kids can wear masks all day long.
I don't know.
I think so.
I hope so. I mean, the teachers will... I'm sure the administrators are going to enforce this, but that is... you are turning teachers into cops, afraid for their own lives mm-hmm. and the lives of their family members. Then you are turning families whose children are going to school with kids they can't control.
Yeah.
I mean, they just cannot control them into fretters and being worried, and for good reason.
Well, and it's going to divide friends, and it's dividing families.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to just cause social triangles and groups and bullying for, you know, I mean, we had our first we had our first encounter with, well, we've had like micro encounters, but we had our first full on. We were leaving a local produce market and loading our car with our produce, wearing our masks because we have brains in our heads. And a guy drove by in a Jeep and screamed, "Fucking maskers!" out the window at us.
We were like, we had to pick our jaws up off the ground.
Is he talking to us?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, this mask is not that big of a deal.
And you know what I like to say to people like that?
Fuck all the way off?
No, if your dick is as big as your brain, you're in pretty big trouble, honey.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Okay, so what are the options like out of the box options. And we've all been thinking about this, right? One of the best ideas I haven't come up with it. I mean, I did, but then I saw it everywhere. So it's not like something I came up with. But learning pods. Mm-hmm. So you hand select some people that whose families you can trust in terms of what their bubble is. Mm-hmm. And you get those kids together and all of you either take turns schooling those kids or you hire someone, a tutor, to school those kids. That's nice. That works really well for people who have the money or the time, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a privileged approach.
Yeah.
Embracing homeschooling. Just fuck it. Just embrace it. Just go for it. You know?
What about if you have to work?
Bring in the neighbor. Hmm. Literally bring in the neighbor because she's a tutor. Come on, Kim. Come on over. We need you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what do we do with the kids who are at risk? I just read an article today about a family where she had three kids and she was keeping her 16-year-old at home, and the 16-year-old was not happy about it, but her other two kids had cystic fibrosis. Mm. This would literally kill them.
It would kill them.
Yes. And then what do you do with families like ours when somebody is at risk? Because I'm one of those people. So,
yep.
I mean, it's so difficult, I tell you what. And I think a cautionary tale is the tale of that camp out of Georgia. Did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
They tested all of the camp counselors, the administrators of the camp, and every kid who came in, tested them for COVID before they came in. They went in, they had their camp, and hundreds of those kids were tested positive for COVID.
Well, I saw an article today on the Washington Post that reported that in a district in Georgia, which opened last week, has already had 260 employees go home to quarantine.
Oh, my God.
260.
Employees. I just don't think we can do it yet. I just don't think we can.
Yeah.
I don't know. But there needs to be, I think there does need to be, if the federal government isn't going to help with this, then there needs to be state or even like really local, hyper-local policies that are put into place to help these families who have to go to work every day. We are lucky in that we can work from home. Mm-hmm. So we're going to work every day. But what in the world are you supposed to do if you can't work from home?
I have no idea. But I mean, I still just get so frustrated with how much further down the road we could be. If back in April, there was somebody, I don't know, it's like this, maybe we need to just rethink how the government works, and there needs to be someone who is like in charge who could say, all right, everybody, we're going to lock down and we're going to get ahead of this and we're going to save lives and we're going to let the scientists do their job and it's going to suck. And it's going to be hard, but we can do hard things.
Yep,
because we've done hard things before.
That's right.
This country has grit. It's like we need to establish some sort of person that we, and like we could vote on them and they could be elected.
This is really interesting.
Into office. Like, and the buck could stop with them. And so it would be like, you know how there's someone who leads a company? They're like a president of a company?
Yeah.
We need like a president
of the country.
Of the country.
Who does something.
Who could say, hey.
Who has a policy.
Yeah. And they could like put sentences together that make sense. They would like know how to use the English language.
Woman. TV. Sorry, I was interrupting you. I was just having a flashback to something unbelievable this week.
I don't know. It's just an idea because we're in this position now, scrambling, forcing families to make horrendous choices, you know. And so now we're again at this crossroads. And the answer to me is keep it locked down so that we can continue to save lives and stay healthy. And then, you know, I'm very hopeful that there is going to be a medical solution to this.
I have a news flash right here. I'm seeing it as we're talking.
No, yeah. Vote.
In November, there is something called an election.
Yeah.
This is so exciting. We can actually vote for a leader.
Oh, what?
Let's do it.
That thing I talked about?
I'll do it if you'll do it.
Yeah. Well, so what countries are on our short list if, if we have to get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, let's go to, I don't really care.
Well, there isn't a place that doesn't have COVID.
Nope. But there are smarter places. I would go hang out with Angela.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to do that.
Remember when we were there just last year? That was a fun trip.
And college is free there for American students.
Hello.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm talking about. Shy guy.
So what does the first day of school look like in 2020?
We don't
know. It doesn't look good. No. But there are marketing campaigns out there right now for back to school clothes. And here's the tagline Here's one of them that I read today. Cool and comfy outfits your kids and teens will love no matter what life looks like. That's real. You can Google that shit. It'll come up. And you know what the clothes were?
What?
Sweats.
Well, that's what I wear every day on the
bottom. Well, I wear shorts every day. Every single day. I have four pair that I rotate through. They're the same style. They're just different colors.
Yeah.
Like the same style. I haven't had like pants on. Uh-huh. And I don't even know when.
I put on my white linen dress the other day because it was so bloody hot in the house.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to fall out of your office
I know. I
chair.
Thought we were renewing our vows and I had like missed the Zoom appointment. I was like, what the fuck?
It was so nice to
you
actually.
You looked beautiful.
To wear something different.
I couldn't believe it. I was like,
That's just for you, honey.
Where are you going? You have no, you're not allowed to leave the house. That's the rules.
That's so funny. All right. Well, there's a lot we don't know, and we keep telling you that.
Yeah.
Mostly, we don't know what's going to happen when it comes to back to school for us. I don't know if you know what's going to happen for you, but whatever you decide, you're going to have to sell it to your kids. So be happy. Talk about it like it is, like you are going out for the big game. This is what we're going to do, and it's going to be really great. And they are watching us. So
yeah.
It's time to sell the dream.
Sell the dream.
Even,
get excited.
Even if it's a fucking nightmare.
But I don't think...
What?
Well, life has changed forever.
Yes.
As we know it.
Yes.
But it's not always going to look exactly like this.
Nope.
It's not. We will get through to some other point, mm-hmm. and there will be some aspects of the old life that come through that feel good again, and there'll be new things that we adopt that just become normal, and it is going to be okay.
And brilliant minds are out there figuring shit out. They just don't happen to be leading the country.
Like ours.
Like
right. This last hour and 7 minutes.
You just keep coming right
back
here.
Oh, my God. I know. You're like, wow.
And the other thing that you can do to really amplify this remarkable thing called I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, it's going to solve all the world's problems, is we'd love it if you would rate, review, or subscribe
yeah.
and share it with your friends.
Visit us on social at I Shouldn't Have Had Kids on Facebook and Instagram. It's SHH Kids on Twitter. You can email us at ishouldn'thavehadkids@gmail.com.
We love to hear from you.
And we do love hearing from you.
We're coming up on our Ruby episode.
Yep, number 40.
Episode number 40.
It's the Ruby episode, and you're going to get hit up with some social media where you get to vote on what we talk about for episode 40. It's our 40th anniversary.
And speaking of Ruby, she's getting a haircut tomorrow. Cannot wait. So we'll post
God.
A picture
we'll
of her
post
as
a
well.
Before and after. She looks like Chewbacca.
She does. She looks ridiculous.
She looks, I'm sorry to say, she looks kind of dumb.
She's dead to the world right now. We're
well,
saying
she's
her
so
name.
Hot. She's wearing like 13 fur coats.
Hey, but most importantly of all, thanks so much for being with us through 37 episodes. We
yeah.
love spending this
we
time
love
with you.
Guys, thank you so much.
We really, it just means the world to have you along for the ride. And hang in there. We're going to figure this thing out. And
yep.
if not, we're going to enjoy ourselves while we try doing it.
As best we can.
All it takes is a bunch of wine.
And a mask.
And a mask. Wear a mask, everybody. We
God
love you.
Damn
Thanks
it.
A lot. Peace out.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.